minute, bear with me. Chazanish in general, anybody familiar with his writings knows that he had a very, very poetic style. So, such a beautiful Lashon Kodesh that you can often just be taken by the beauty of the, by the linguistic beauty, and not realize how much he packs into every sentence. Every sentence in Chazanish in general has to be learned, not much the way you learn Rishonim, of trying to chop everything that he packed into each sentence. It's like this with his Sfarim for sure, even with his letters which were published. And now we're going to be learning from a piece of Chazon Ish, a work that he called Emunah U'Bitachon. He didn't actually call it this. This is something that he put together. We don't know for what exactly, but he didn't put it out. This was found after his death and published. Emunah U'Bitachon. I work on Emunah and Bitachon. But right now I just want to focus on one specific passage in which he's describing what he calls, like we said before, a fine person. And there's a lot for us to learn from this. So he starts as follows. Yesh ish mis'avele tiv lezulose. You have a person who wants, who longs, desires to do good for others. When he meets another person, that's a great cause for joy. So here already, basically what we're going to be doing is reading a phrase, a sentence, and trying to analyze what he's saying. So he says, when you have what we're calling a good person, meeting another person is a cause for joy. What does that mean? Why is it a cause for joy? The Chazon Ish wasn't a social butterfly. He wasn't looking to socialize. His life was primarily spent in seclusion, in his four amas, and his door was open. People were able to come when they wanted. People came and went, but he certainly wasn't out there looking to socialize. So what does he mean by that? So the answer is, and this is what we're going to see soon. In these first few weeks we were discussing, came up in last week's discussion, other discussions, that we have to view the people around us as missions from Hashem. Often, when we talk about this sort of thing, we view it as, oh, people around us provide us with challenges. They present challenges. We have to rise to the occasion. Now, that's true. At the same time, it's the negative angle. Not everybody around us is just providing us with challenges all the time, we would hope. I hope we have at least a couple of satisfying relationships. So it's not completely true to say that the people around us are just there to provide us with challenges to overcome. That's one side of the coin. But we hope that it's the smaller side of the coin. Now, let's present this in another way. The people around us provide us with great opportunities. Forget challenges. We're going to talk now about a person who gets along with everybody around him. Gets along with his spouse in a reasonable way, children, neighbors, etc. Each time he encounters any of these people or anybody else, this is a great opportunity. How's that? Because any meeting that you have with somebody, the truth is a gold mine. Because it's an opportunity, as he's going to say soon, every meeting you have with somebody, the way to approach it is, how can I ensure that this person goes away from his encounter with me with a good feeling? And how good can I make that feeling? Mekablet, so we'll continue what the Chazon Ish says, and then we'll develop this point that we're making now a bit more. Nekabla the Sefer Parim Yafes. So this begins with greeting the person with a warm smile. That's number one. Walk around with a pleasant countenance, smiling at people as you walk by. You're already contributing something to that, and you don't know what effects you might be having. Then we're talking about the most superficial encounter. Person who you don't even talk to. You pass them by in the street, someone you're vaguely familiar with, and you nod and you give a smile. Now, what's being expressed in that smile? What's being expressed in that smile is that I'm familiar with you, and I like you. That's all. Might seem like a little thing, and when you're preoccupied with other things, you might not think of it. But the truth is that you don't know how powerful such a thing can be. And if we'll talk in business terms, you can be making millions by just doing this. I'll just give one bit of a more drastic example, a bigger example. When I learned in Mir, under the legendary Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zecheinu Livracha, I davened kind of close to where he sat, a few rows back. And he was a very weak person. I'm sure people who have read a little bit about him, very weak person. When I came into davening, he was already at his place. As I walked by, he would just give a smile, that was all. Barely even a nod. He wouldn't even nod. He was just kind of sitting in his place. A smile. But that smile, basically, was how I started my day. That was how I started my day. Gave me a certain injection, because it wasn't just, it was a smile that really expressed, ah, you're here. That was what was expressed in that smile. Very personal. Ah, you're here. That was an injection. It was an inspiring way to start the day. Okay. So you might say, I'm not Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. First of all, in that sense, you could be. Right? But Moshe Feinstein's wife used to tell her grandchildren, you probably won't grow to become the Talmud Chacham your grandfather was, but you can grow to become the gentleman he was. That's what she would tell her grandchildren. So, in this sense, it's quite likely that we can all be of Nosson Tzvi. The truth is that the Gemara already says this. The Gemara says it about greeting other people. But it's really the same idea. The Gemara says that if somebody else greets you and you don't respond, you're called a gazni. What's the idea? The idea is that we have to realize that we have a responsibility to society around us. Because society around us has to live with us. Right? You have to realize that the people living around you, whether in much closer quarters, right, whether it's the people who live in your apartment, the people who live in your bedroom, or in a bit further quarters, the people who live on your floor, in your building, on your street, you have to realize that whether you like it or not, you are a part of their lives. As a part of their lives, you have a responsibility towards them. What's your responsibility towards them? Make their lives as pleasant as you can. You are one contributing factor in their lives, but they have a lot of contributing factors, and the pleasantness of their lives is going to depend on the combination of all those different contributing factors. And you're one of them. So you might say, alright, I never signed a contract. Who asked for that? No, Chazal is telling you that this is part of living in this world. You have a responsibility to society around you. And the way Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski, the Mashkiach of Slavodka, put it, so we know that one of your obligations to society is to make sure you're not causing harm to society. For example, don't leave a banana peel on the hallway in the school floor because you don't want people sliding down the hallway. That's an obligation that you have. It's a responsibility that you have to society around you. Or, if we'll put it in the Gemara terms, don't create a bo b'rishus harabim. You have to dig a hole for some reason in the middle of the street. You have a responsibility to society around you to fill that hole, to cover that hole. But Avraham Grudzinski said, walking around with a sour face is a bo b'rishus harabim. That's like putting a banana peel on the street. Because yes, your expression might be a small contribution to the other person's day, but You are a contributing factor to his day. Realize that. Now, this can obviously take three levels, right? There's a sour face, and there's a positive face, and there's a smile, right? The sour face, often we don't know what the how far, what the ripple effects can be of our little facial expressions. You never know. You have a person who walks by, a little bit of a sensitive disposition, sees a sour face and he's already reading into it. And he's figuring out why it is that you don't like him. All kinds of what the Gemara calls migdolim polchim ba'avir, towers built in this, you know, hanging in the air. Nothing. But there is such a thing. Okay, but let's leave that. That's a little bit extreme. But there's also the other way around. The parav, okay, it's parav. But you don't realize, you often don't realize how much you might be contributing by your positive little smile. You can have a person who's in a bad mood, heading home after shul. Right? He's in a bad mood. Right now, he's destined to walk into his house and bark. His wife is going to bark back. Everyone's going to start the day in a lousy mood. And you don't know how that's going to affect his office, how that's going to affect his kids in school. Sometimes, your little smile changes his mood. Now, this sounds strange. It sounds a little bit extreme. What are really the chances of it happening? And the truth is, I'll concede, it's probably not going to be the case with every person you meet. But it's likely to be the case with 1 out of 5. It is a pretty realistic concept. It's likely to be the case with 1 out of 5, that you will actually create a shift in their mood by giving a true, sincere smile. And you might create a shift in their mood. When you're creating a shift in the mood of 1 out of 5 people you meet, 1 out of 5 in those cases is actually going to make a significant shift in the day. So 1 out of 25 people you meet, if you're going to get into the habit of greeting each person with a bright, sincere smile that expresses, oh, I'm happy to see you now. I'm giving arbitrary numbers. You can argue that it's not 1 in 25. Maybe it's 1 in 20, maybe it's 1 in 32. But whatever it is, you realize that you might actually be making a change on a pretty regular basis. If once in 2 days you're making a significant change in somebody's day, which is ultimately going to have ripple effects, ultimately you're accumulating a lot of chusim. You're making a lot of changes in the world around you. And that's what we call being a contributing member of society, in a very basic level. But this is called being a contributing member of society. And yes, Chazal considered this part of your responsibility towards society around you. There's a famous story. I imagine people here have seen this story from non-Jewish sources, which illustrates our point very well. This is a fellow who wrote this article. He said, I was walking home from high school one day, and he saw a kid, he used to notice a kid who learned, studying in a different school in the area, always walked home with a little bit of a long face. The kid looked nerdy, you know, looked like the type who didn't really fit in so well to society around him. He always had a little bit of a long face. So this kid said, the writer of this article said, for whatever reason, he decided he's going to say hi to the kid. Hi to the kid, and he saw whenever he passed him by, the kid's face lit up. Okay, felt good about himself. One day, he met the kid, he saw the kid was carrying a whole armload of books. If everybody's familiar with this story, Okay, we'll go through it. We won't spend too much time on it, but we'll go through it. One day, he sees him walking home with a whole armload of books. Heavy armload of books. And as he's walking home, some of the other guys from his school, he didn't fit so well to the chevra around him. Some of the other guys from his school passed him by, and they snickered and gave him a shove. And he fell forward, kind of like into a pile, and his books went flying. So this guy writes, he said, I saw this from down the block, and I really felt bad for the kid. So I walked over to him, and I helped him up, And I said, don't pay attention to them. And I helped him get his books together, and I walked him home. I carried half of his books and I walked him home, and he looked very grateful. Okay. And they continued. They maintained a friendly relationship over the years, in the next couple of years. And as time went on, it turned into an ongoing hello, good morning kind of relationship. But a familiar hello, good morning kind of relationship. And then, a few years later, at the end of high school, this kid invited him to come to his graduation, where he was going to be the valedictorian. So, at the graduation, this kid, the valedictorian, got up to speak. And he thanked his parents and his teachers, and he said, there's somebody who I really have to thank here today. And he named our friend, the writer of this article. He said, I really have to thank him, and I'm now going to say something that nobody here was aware of. That I was having a very, very hard time in school. I was made fun of by everybody. I was miserable. And the kids in my class were giving me Gehenna. And I reached a point where I decided I didn't want any more. What's the purpose of going schlepping through life? Nobody likes me. He said he had emptied out his locker that Friday, intending to leave school permanently. He was going to go home and commit suicide. And he said that when he was pushed over into the mud, that was like the final straw. He was determined to do it. And then he said, this fellow came over to me and pulled me up and did what he did. I said, there's somebody who likes me. Just that warm feeling pushed it off. I don't have to do it this weekend. And that warm hello every morning was what kept him going until he actually built himself up into the success that he became. So this is not the type of story you're going to see advertised every day. Not the type of story you're going to see advertised every day. And it's also the more drastic of these types of stories. However, stories like these, on a less drastic scale, are very common. Very common. And therefore we have to appreciate. We don't necessarily realize the koyach that we have in us to convey warmth, to convey a good feeling to the people around us. So that's really the most basic way. So now we move on. So the Chazon Ish says, again, every time he encounters another person, it's a joy for him. Why? Because encountering another person, every time you encounter a person, you are presented with a unique opportunity. What is the opportunity? It's like we just described. The Chazon Ish continues. His focus is, what can I do to most please this person now? Meaning he's concerned. How can I make sure not to mess up this encounter? In other words, we'll put it into business terms. How can I get the most for my money out of this encounter? Now here also, what is an encounter? It can be on very many, many different scales. Right? It can be your kid in the morning as you're getting him ready for school. Spouse in the morning. It can be the person who you say hello to on the way out of shul, a neighbor that you bump into. It can also be on a bigger scale, somebody you're actually going to be spending the next couple of hours with. You're at a meeting with somebody, you're going to be talking to somebody. Whatever it is, here is a general, all-encompassing focus for a person to focus on when you're meeting somebody, when you're actually going to sit down with them. How can I have this person go away from this encounter with the best possible feeling? Now, sometimes it's a business meeting when you're talking about very tachlistic kind of things. Fine. Or a school meeting, you're going to be discussing something with the principal. Fine. You had your agenda with whatever it is the meeting is. But at the same time, with the agenda, there is always the way, with a little bit of thought. It's really more of an issue of just getting used to it. Or with a little bit of thought, you can turn the encounter into a pleasant experience for the other person by thinking a little bit, what things can I tell the person? A little bit of thought, these things don't come naturally. But what is it that I can compliment the other person about? What is an encouraging word I can give the other person? We're told, the Sfarim tell us, don't rush into a mitzvah. When you're doing a mitzvah, take a minute to contemplate a little bit. Certainly when you're davening, to contemplate a little bit. What is it I'm about to do? And to approach it right. We should approach every encounter with a person as a potential big mitzvah. Big mitzvah. And therefore, approach it right. Think a little bit. Yes, this is a power of encounter, but what can I do to send this person away with the best possible feeling? And a little bit of thought, a little bit of creativity, get used to it, you'll find it starting to turn natural. Now, Ein kev lev etzloi ki ke'ev shalpia b'chloi chaveri. For such a person, nothing pains him more than the thought of hurting somebody else. Or the fact that he missed out on something good that he could have done for the person. Meaning, have you had a situation where you come away, let's talk business, come away with a business meeting and afterwards you're feeling, oh, I could have said this, I could have done that, I could have made a better deal, right? So this person comes away from an encounter with somebody, oh, I could have said this, I could have said that, and that would have sent that person away with a whole different feeling. Now, what's the point of thinking about it afterwards? The point of thinking about it afterwards is that you're more on the alert. You're more on the alert for the next time. And when you're thinking in these terms, yes, you can be cropping mitzvahs right and left. You can be cropping chasodim right and left. Now he continues to a little bit of a more challenging part of this discussion. May oylam loynifka hu mere'ehu. He is never offended by somebody else. Hear that? He's never offended by somebody else. Now, this is very challenging. Okay, the Chazon Ish is basically painting for us, I guess, a picture of himself. I don't know. But let's get the concept. Ki libay hamolei ava techas al kol pshoim. His heart, that's full of love, simply covers over any insults or offenses that the other person might send his way. Okay. I don't know if we can naturally say that our hearts are full of love for everybody we meet. Apparently he is describing himself. Again, really, these are things that the Chazon Ish apparently wrote for his own personal issues. They found it among his writings after his death and published it. So maybe he's describing himself. But whatever it is, okay, we're not yet at the point where we automatically feel an overwhelming love for anybody we meet. But let's start getting this mindset, because often we're just in the... We're sensitive people, and naturally we're egocentric people. And when a person hits our ego, it hurts. And a part of turning ourselves, a part of refining our character, which is really one of the fundamental purposes we're here in this world for, to perfect our characters, is to be shrinking the ego to the extent that I'm just there to give to the other person who I'm dealing with. And, yes, things that darts that come from him to me can pass me by. By the way, I'm working a little bit in no particular order here, but I just want to step back for a minute to give a few examples of a more specific category of what we said before. How a person puts a little thought into utilizing an encounter to make the person come away with a good feeling. And I want to give some specific examples of how this could be done, even with an encounter that by nature is a negative encounter. Just two examples of, let's say, a parent or a Talmud or a Rebbe who has to reproach his child, which automatically by us is a negative encounter. Does it have to be that way? So the answer is, if we're naturally coupling our frustration at what happened together with our obligation to educate the person, so yes, kind of a combination of frustration and education. Usually, by the way, the frustration that you express just undermines the educational effect. Right? The training is the more detached you can be and just state it in a technical way, whatever it is you need to convey. Sometimes you need to express anger that also should be done in a thought out way. When there's real frustration there, it'll usually just work against your purpose. I just want to give two examples. And as I'm planning to give these two examples, other examples are popping into my mind. Well, let's see. Two cases, I want to draw on two cases of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Again, we're talking high levels here. But that's okay. We're trying to create for ourselves a frame of reference. Two examples of Rav Moshe Feinstein reproaching a Talmud. So there was one boy in Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva who was a big masmid, a very big masmid, too much of a masmid, very diligent, to the extent that he got Sfarim open alongside his siddur during davening. And Rav Moshe Feinstein once saw this. Rav Moshe Feinstein, I guess, yeah, noticed what was going on in the guy's shtender, whatever it is. It was the middle of davening, and the person had opened a siddur and a sefer open next to him. Later in the day, Rav Moshe Feinstein motioned for the bacher to come over to him. And the bacher came over, so Rav Moshe Feinstein started stroking his back and saying, "You're an example of asmud. A grace of asmud. A grace of asmud." He said, "You're an example of asmud. Example of asmud." He said, "And masmidin have their own level of nisyanus. For masmidin like you, the nisayan is not to have the sefer open during davening." That was the reproach. That bacher came away walking on air, and he got a message too. The technique here, for someone like you, there's a different level of nisayan. Or another example, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to get up for a pre-dawn seder. Rav Moshe Feinstein, when the rest of mankind was awake, they didn't give him much time to himself. So if he wanted to have time to himself, he had to do it when the rest of mankind was dormant. So he used to have a pre-morning seder, learning seder. He used to get up, I don't know, at what time? Was it 4 in the morning? Oh, 4 in the morning. And that was his time for himself. According to the book. Oh, okay. So that was his time for himself. Now, he was once in Camp Staten Island, and he was in a bungalow. He got up for his pre-morning seder, and one of the Talmidim was very tempted to see Rav Moshe Feinstein in his pre-morning seder. So somehow he climbed up on the porch or something, where he was able to spy on Rav Moshe, kind of spy on Rav Moshe, watch him learning. Okay. A kid. Apparently he wasn't careful enough, and he made some noise while he was watching Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe heard. He started, and he said, "Where is dog? Somebody there?" Okay. I guess the boy was already not a kid that he was going to scamper away. He kind of shamefacedly admitted that yes, he was there. So Rav Moshe Feinstein told him, "Come in, come in." So he called him in. The bacher came in, sat down with Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe Mamish greeted him with a very warm smile. "Ah, sit down, I have a chance to get to know you. There's nobody else around." And he asked him, you know, what his name is, where he had learned, etc., etc. Asked him about his family, was figuring out common associates. Oh, he knew this one, he knew that one. A whole nice meeting of personal meeting of getting to know Rav Moshe. And then Rav Moshe says, "Oh, I'm happy we had this chance to get to know each other in a personal way. But standing on people's windows is not their effect." The bacher came away having gained a personal introductory meeting with Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he got his message too. So this is an example, once again, a person putting thought into how to make the most out of an encounter. How to make the most of an encounter doesn't necessarily have to mean that since I need to reproach this person now, how am I going to get the most out of this reproach? No. How can we turn this into the best possible encounter for what needs to be done now? Thought can accomplish that. Think about it. This can be relevant for any exchange. It's just an issue of exercise. Exercise with this a little bit, it starts coming more naturally. We'll give the other extreme. We get back to the Chazon Ish. Someone who davened in the Chazon Ish's minyan came with his kid to the minyan, and the kid apparently was a healthy 7-8 year old boy, and he was misbehaving. So, by the way, that's a good sign. So the kid was misbehaving. The father tried to quiet him down a couple of times, and then the father blew up and really gave it to him over the head. So after davening, the Chazanish said to this father, he said, "You told him that misbehaving during davening is unacceptable. You showed him that losing control is acceptable at the same time." And he said, "Chazal tell us that Godol Shimusha Yisem Ilimuda. What you learn live from a Rebbe is a much stronger lesson than what you learn in a lesson and what he teaches you. So figure out whether this was a profitable deal." Again, issue of approaching it with thought, or just approaching your encounters instinctively without thought. And the same goes for, here we're talking about what we're calling the negative encounters, but even the parava encounters. You approach it without thought, it begins technical and it ends technical. With a little bit of thought, you can turn it into something positive. Now, for example, if you just know the first name of the person in the makolet that you buy your bread and milk from, and when you pay for your bread and milk, you say, "Good morning, Mendel," or whatever it is that person's first name is, that also makes a very big difference. It's already a personal encounter, which for them, going through the monotonous drone of one barcode after the other, that can make a difference. It's a warm feeling. Now, to us, that warm feeling might not mean all that much, but people who don't have so many people in their lives calling them by their first name, that one person who does can make a very big difference. So that's the point here. Let's approach any sort of encounter with a little bit of thought. What's the nature of this encounter, and what can I get out of this encounter in terms of making the other person happy? Now, get back to where we were up to. The Chazanish started telling us this idea of not getting offended. So listen to what he says. When a person is approaching life or his day with the approach of, "I am here to contribute to society around me." It's not, by the way, it doesn't conflict to making the deals you need to make and making your living, etc. But in a general way, I want to be giving on a personal level to the people I'm meeting. The other part of that is the realization that most people are not going to share your mindset. Now, if you're going to approach all inspired because you just read this piece of Chazanish, and you treat somebody that way, and he responds very impolitely, you're surprised. Hey, aren't we all out there to just contribute to a pleasant society? So the Chazanish is telling us no. A part of that mindset is the realization that most people are not going to have this mindset, and you are approaching it with that in mind. Yes. And therefore, I'm approaching it in the same way. Yes, I want to make this person feel good, and I don't expect him to want to make me feel good. In fact, he might be in the same lousy mood he was. He never heard what we said about Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski. And he might be grouchy, he might bark at me. And that's fine. I'm willing to swallow that. Biyadai, listen, we're supposed to judge other people favorably. Listen to a very unique twist that the Chazanish uses to judge other people favorably. Biyadai she'ein roiv ne'odam atzilei amidas. You realize that most people have not worked on perfecting their midas. Now there's an interesting danlekapskus. What's my danlekapskus? How do I judge the other guy favorably? He hasn't worked on his midas. That sounds strange. That's an approach of Danlekav schools. But actually it is. Actually it is. Basically what the Chazanish is saying is, you're inspired because you heard these beautiful things. But last week you might have been the same grouch, right? To realize that he did not yet learn these beautiful things. And allow him that. Allow him that. That's right, people are not naturally, yes, you want to put yourself onto a different level. So realize that you're putting yourself onto a different level. Putting yourself onto a different level means realizing that you're dealing with people around you who are not necessarily going to be on that level, and yet they're Klal Yisrael. The mitzvah of Benotam L'Chaveri was not said about people who are only going to give you a good feeling about it and are going to go saying, wow, look what good needs that person has. If you do want to take this approach of becoming that person who's out there to make other people happy, it's with the realization that it's a one-way street. That's who you're out there to make feel good. It's a one-way street. If it's people who are under your influence and you can get them into this campaign also, sure, talk about this by the Shabbos table. Absolutely. But in general, the approach will be with the realization of, that's right, most people don't have this mindset, and I'm approaching it with this realization. It's not a deal. It's an issue of, I want to be on this level. Now here it gets challenging though, and again, here we're seeing the sublime personality of the Chazon Ish shine through. I'm going to read what he says without being able to relate to it. Maybe somebody else can explain to me how this works practically. So he just explained to us that yes, he relates to people with an understanding approach. Wasn't necessarily exposed to the inspiration I was exposed to. But yet he says, yes, you, with that realization, what can you expect? Yet, he relates to them in a very respectful way. Meaning, after what I just said, you might think, okay, you approach these people in a condescending way. Look who I am. I learned this piece in Chazon Ish. I'm working on refining my character. I know that this person hasn't, and I'm willing to be nice to him anyways. But yet, the Chazon Ish says, not in a condescending way. Not even with a condescending feeling in your heart. You relate to them with utmost respect. And he does not feel in his heart any negative feeling of, how do you say condescending in a noun? I don't know. Condescending in a noun. Any feeling of looking down on the other person. Okay, this is already, like I said, the Chazon Ish is painting a very, very sublime picture here. This part, I don't know how he put this together. I'm reading it anyways, because, first of all, it sets our sights higher. Second of all, maybe somebody here does. And now listen. And here, Mamish, I think we're just reading the Chazon Ish describing himself. Kitapnuke ha-nefesh. When a person really refines his personality and the way he terms refines his personality is like the term of spoils his personality, spoils in the positive sense, pampers his personality. I mean, when you bring your personality to such a delicate level, the spoiled, the positive sense, okay, the pampered personality, the refined, the perfected personality is one who simply has the mindset of a meshamish, a person who's out there to serve everybody around him on the emotional level. I'm simply here with a sense of mission. How can I make the experience of everybody around me as much as pleasant as possible? Leman ha-toiv ha-mo'e. Just because I want the world to be as good a place as possible, I'm one of the determining factors in how good this world is going to be, and I'm going to do my part to the utmost. And therefore, he can actually bear paradoxes. How's that? On the one hand, he does castigate himself. He does hold himself to blame for any lack of character perfection that manifests towards other people. While at the same time, I dare tolerate and relate understandingly to anybody else's lack of perfect character towards me. Meaning, in other words, in a general way, we all live with paradoxes. Just the Chazon Ish is turning the paradox around. Very often, we understand ourselves when we're in a cranky mood. Right? I didn't get enough sleep last night. I don't have kach for anybody. And therefore, yes, I'm going to be barking at the kids this morning. I don't have kayach to say good morning nicely to the neighbors. And in the office, everybody better keep away from me. Because I had a lousy night last night. And I understand myself very well. And then if somebody barks at you in the office, it doesn't even cross your mind that maybe he had a lousy night last night also. Why should he be talking to me this way? What did I say wrong to him? We all live with these paradoxes. We very well understand ourselves. Somebody else says the same thing to us, or somebody else talks in the same way that we might have just talked to somebody else a minute ago, we're all offended. So we can work with paradoxes. We can handle paradoxes. And now the Chazon Ish is saying that a person can reach a level where the paradox is turned around. He holds himself up to a very high standard, and yet feels no shock, surprise at the fact that other people don't relate to him this way. That's fine. I have no expectations. But I do have expectations of myself. Yakir HaNefesh Dinan. So this is where he puts it down. This fine person of ours, and a derish minafshoy, his apkus yisero, v'chagirish eris kayach, reaches a point where, when he really develops this mindset of, I'm here simply to serve the people around me. Why should a person develop this mindset, by the way? Isn't this something of a loserish mindset? Why should I develop this mindset? But when you stop thinking of what you are, when you stop thinking of what you are as a tzelem elikim, what the implication of a tzelem elikim is. Tzelem elikim means that Hashem is shining himself into this world through me in a way that he never did before in history. That's something that really has to be discussed at length, and we're already at the end of this year now, but that's really what's flying behind this whole thing. Why should I want to develop this whole style of just, I'm here to serve others? When you realize that you are actually a conduit of Hashem's goodness into this world, and yes, Hashem has all kinds of benefits and benevolence that he wants to bestow around people in your neighborhood, and he's choosing you to do it, you're his ambassador. You are given the potential to convey his chesed to the people around you through the things that we've been discussing. Forget about what other people are doing. Do I want to do that job right? Hashem chose me to represent him in a unique way. There was never anybody who was able to represent Hashem in this way before. So it's a question between me and Hashem, or a question between me and myself. Do I want to do this job right? This is what leads a person, yes, to develop this mentality of, my approach is, yes, I'm here to simply be that conduit, what's called in this farm a tzinor, a conduit, a pipe connecting to Hashem, and I'm clearing out any of the mud that's in the pipe stuck in it. I just want to be able to let Hashem's goodness pour into this world through me. And when I understand that, yes, this is my focus in life, then it stops bothering me whether other people are relating this way to me or not. The priest reaches a level where, and here already again, we're talking about sublime levels, but let's paint this picture for ourselves. In a derish minafshei apkus yisera, he reaches a point where it's no longer an issue of overcoming the chagira sheir is koyach neged ha'gzonus hativis, where it's an issue of overcoming natural anger. He's already past the point of overcoming. V'neged ke'ev sha'abanas panim, he's already past the point of overcoming that feeling of hurt when someone offends me. Because when a person really develops this mindset, the way the Chazon Ish puts it is, his nefesh is already so polished that it simply is invincible. Nobody can offend me. I know what I'm doing, and I know who I am. Someone's insult to me simply means nothing.
V'soivas smachos v'gil v'nihimos netzach.
And therefore, he lives his life with an ongoing, constant sense of satisfaction and joy in what he's doing in this world. Once again, why? Because he's established for himself what his outlook at the world around him is. He's established for himself, he's defined for himself who I am and what I am to the world around me. Therefore, my view of myself doesn't depend at all on the way people relate to me. My feeling doesn't depend at all on the way the people around me, on the way the people around me relate to me. I know who I am, I know what I'm doing. That itself gives me that ultimate sense of fulfillment and of joy at the great mission that I'm busy with.